that we have here in the States, in America. And I could see God's goodness all around me, his salvation, what Jesus has done to in my life, the friend he is to me, the long suffering he has in my own life. But I started laying down when I'd go to sleep every night, and tears would just stream down my face and hit the pillow, and I started wondering if God was really good, because I could see it in my life, but this situation really angers me. And I was so mad that this government is allowed to oppress the people this way, that the landmine victims, Burma is just scattered, landmines are scattered throughout this country, that if these people get their freedom, you know, I'm not sure how they'd even manage to go back with all the landmines that are there. I'm a nurse, and I do the medical missions with partners, and you know, 1 in 12 women die from complications related to giving birth, and it's because they're on the run. 1 in 3 kids are malnourished, and then you couple malnourishment with malaria, and it's certain death for these little kids. And 1 in 4 children die before their 5th birthday. And this is real, and I was just looking at this living hell going, how do these people do it? And with the Karen people, they have a large population that are Christians. And you go into these villages in these areas, and they are just praising God. But at the time, I didn't really see that, and I was very angry and wondering, where was God in this picture, in this world that we live? And just not understanding his goodness. And so during the struggle that I was having, just seeking God's goodness and who he was in this situation, the Lord is so faithful. And he actually called them without them knowing it. And one by one, these people came and told their story of how good God is. And it would be a landmine victim that was telling me that God is good. The person who just has lost family members and his house is burned down and the rice fields have been burnt and the rice stores have been burnt down, and they were telling me that God was good. So I walked away from that a year ago, knowing with all of my heart that even in tough times, even in the worst of circumstances that we could ever imagine, that God is definitely good, which was a good background to have with especially this latest cyclone when it hit this area and the people that we love so much. The majority of the people that were affected in that cyclone were probably Karen people, along with other ethnic groups, which again is why the Burma government doesn't want to do anything to be able to allow aid and relief to go into those areas. And so it's just been, just seeing God's hand and God's faithfulness in this situation, it encourages me. It encourages me that we can go through a lot of things, and that God does give that measure of grace that we need to be able to go through and endure the trials that we have here. Some of the things that I'm involved with is a LAMB, we call it the LAMB training program. It's a maternal health training program, and LAMB stands for Life Abundant for Mothers and Babies. It's an opportunity that I get to share both practical skills with midwives and also couple that with sharing the gospel. The midwives that we work with are located in remote villages on the Burma side of the border. They do not have, most of them don't have any prior education. Some of them are very elderly, have been the village midwife for many, many years. They wear a little dirty towel wrapped around the head so that they're ready in a moment's notice to catch the baby. they're just adorable. They, you know, on break, they go out, you know, when we have a little break, and they all squat down on the ground, and they have these big cigars coming out of their mouths with black caked under their fingernails. So for us, for a nurse, it's like a nurse's worst nightmare. So, but they have these precious hearts, and so we just work with them to increase their skills and their cleanliness, and prayerfully are going to be a part of increasing the death rate among newborn babies and mothers delivering babies in Burma. And it's exciting. A lot of them, our training started with midwives that they actually can't read and write either. Sharing the gospel, that makes a little bit difficult, you know, like, so how do you do that? And I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with the wordless book or the gospel, the colored beads that they have, like the green, white, red, black, that all symbol, you know, have a special symbol, black for sin, red, the blood of Christ. And so we have the wordless Bibles, the color books, and gospel beads that we do with these midwives, and just share with them the love of Christ, and how much he cares about them, and how much he loves the women and the babies and the people of Burma. I have to get it out. I didn't put it out on the table, but there is a birthing kit. In fact, I don't know if someone would want to grab it out of my box. It's probably in that plastic bin at the very bottom. Yeah, little plastic baggie. And inside this baggie are some things that actually help save lives. Volunteers help put these items together, and they send them over to Thailand, and we give them to medical teams that then take them into the people that need them most. Inside this little Ziploc baggie is a piece of plastic, which allows the mother to have a clean birthing area. It's got some gauze in it and some sterile, to be able to have a sterile cord cut and a sterile razor blade. It gives gloves for the midwife and soap to be able to, you know, just have it clean. And those kits are, you know, we pray that God is just using them to help save lives over there. And I'll show that to you when he brings it out. I think he... No, okay. So this is the birthing kit. And, you know, for me, when I see this, if any of us... Is anyone pregnant in here? Yeah. Listen, we'll practice on you, huh? This kit, when I first saw it, I mean, I thought if someone were to hand me this, it would basically be like, does God hate me? because this isn't enough, you know, for what we think. But this is, this little kit is saving lives. And I'll open it up when I go out there and you guys can see everything that's in it. But it's making a big difference. Another area that I'm involved in is we have a CHECK program, which is our child health care program. And so we have about 1,000 children in several different refugee camps. I wish I had a map, but there's about 5 Karen refugee camps that line the Thai-Burma border. And so within those camps are the 100 to 200,000 people, and Partners helps with about 1,000 of those kids that are in different hostels located in the refugee camp. And we started this last year. And we went in, and these kids that you think, you know, we go in with children ministry teams all the time, and they don't complain. They never say a word. And they're, you know, you go in with just sharing Jesus with them and Bible stories and crafts and singing songs with them and just engaging and just loving on these kids. And they are just responding to that love. And they just, you would never guess that you're in a refugee camp. And so we had no idea. We kind of just went in and tested out the situation. And I thought, well, if we take a medical team there, you know, they're not going to You know, we're not going to even see anyone. Well, I was wrong. The majority of the kids definitely had huge problems. There was one teenage boy who had a fungal infection covering his entire half of his upper body, and he'd had it for 3 years and never said anything. And with a course of medication, you know, that was taken care of. Just the hygiene problems that are there that are a little bit more obvious and evident, but you know, still those things, we're able to start tackling them. And so this is the second year that we've gone back to reevaluate and see how these kids are doing. And we have just, we've also done in conjunction training with it, with the caregivers and with the kids, and we have just seen a magnificent response and are just really excited to see that a lot of the problems that were, you know, on the initial run, that those things are more in control, and you know, that the kids are living a little bit healthier, a little, you know, more, that things are looking a lot better for them. So that's exciting to see that. The other thing that we do every time we go is we'll have like maybe about 100 kids that are kind of lined up along the way, you know, waiting to see a doctor or nurse to be able to do some health care with them. So those kids that are waiting, we will have a children's ministry team there that's there to just pour Jesus into their lives. So again, the Lord just really put that twofold, I think, ministry on my heart with, you know, to go out and preach the gospel and to heal the sick. And so that's just such a blessing to be able to be a part of that there. One of the things that probably changed my life more than anything was I got to go on a trip into Shan State. So there's the Karen. If you're looking at Burma, which I don't know, that's not going to work too well. But anyways, there's different ethnic, Burma is made up of many different ethnic groups. And so it's the Karen, Karini, and then Shan State in Burma is up at the top. And it's the ninth largest unreached people group with the Bible for Christians. So it's exciting to be working in that area as well. And so that was a very life-changing time for me. I had to, you probably look at me and think, you know, I'm not a mountain climber. don't do a lot of that. I don't like bugs. I don't like dirt. I don't even like to garden because it's just like, ooh, there might be a worm or something. And but I kind of had to put all that aside. It's that whole, it's not about me. It's about God's plan and what he has. So if there's things that you know that God is putting on your heart, but you're not quite sure how that's all going to work out because it maybe doesn't go with your personality or with other things, you know, you just have to give it to God. Maternal health care, for me to get involved with women and babies, that's not my background. At all. And when I watch a video of a birth, I pass out. I don't pass out. That's a little exaggerated. But I get black and fuzzy. And I'm a nurse. And I deal with a lot of things as a nurse. But watching babies born is not one of them. And yet, you know, he called me into maternal health care. Dentistry. My daughter, when she's five, you know, comes with the wiggle tooth. Oh, I don't want to see the I don't know how I became a nurse. God has got a great sense of humor. But, you know, and so, like, I couldn't even handle watching her wiggle her tooth. But God has had me jump in there, and I help with dental outreaches as well. And now I've pulled teeth, although, you know, I'll be sitting there with the flashlight, and the dentist is, like, working on something that gets a little bloody, and I'll be like, oh, little kid, come here, get a chair, I'm going to, you know, pass out. So it's a little dramatic to watch, but, you know, and so this other area is this business about, you know, hiking mountains, trying to avoid Thai authorities and other people so that you can sneak into Shan State and be able to get a hold of these Free Burma Rangers, which is another group that Partners works with, that send these teams into Burma to help the people that are in the most trouble, the internally displaced people. It's just a blessing to work with these guys. They're the ones that get the brunt of it all. These teams get equipped with how to document human rights abuses, how to talk to the people. They do a good life club, which is all about the gospel and how to share Jesus and how to counsel kids that are caught in the trauma of the war that they're caught in, who have lost parents and other brothers and sisters, who have lost limbs, who know all their family members that have lost limbs by stepping on landmines. And so we get to be a part of training those ethnic teams that go out to their own people. And in Shan State, like I said, they are 99% Buddhist. And one of the guys on this team is Buddhist. He is not Christian, but he has his little, you know, good life bag and the wordless book and his gospel beads. And he's out there sharing with his people hidden in jungles about Jesus. And so Audney, who Rick knows, Audney asked him, why would you be sharing with your people about Jesus? And he's like, this is a very good story, and my people need to know it, and it will bring them hope. So God uses us when we don't even know he's using us. And again, just God's grace and his love for the people of Burma, again, seeing his hand in Burma in ways that we can't imagine. So I'll tell you just a bit of a funny story, because you saw in the video the child with the child on his back hiking up that hill. Well, we had been into our hike about maybe 8 hours, exhausted, going up and down at least 1.5 large mountains. And we came to the end. We're about an hour away from where our destination is. And one of the guides, our guides were these Sean guys, and one of them is missing an arm. He's got just down to his elbow. The other guy is about 5'3" and a twig. And the other guy is actually a rather strong, you know, Sean man. And so those are our guides to get us to Sean State. So we get to an area that looks like that, and we're on a perfectly good road. And they say, "Hey, you know, we've been going for a long time. We should take a shortcut." That being the shortcut. Let's just go down a mountain that looks like that. And I don't do down. I can actually go up. I like going up, because I can just, like a little turtle, and I just kind of pass up all the, you know, and I can actually hike up a mountain and do okay. But going down, I've got bad ankles, I've got severe arthritis in my ankles, I'm not steady, I don't trust my feet and things like that. So we're heading down this, and Steve, bless his heart, I've got a little walking trekking pole that snapped in two when we're trying to get through this, and he's helping me by plunging it into the ground and me sliding my foot, you know, a foot down to stop it. And I'm just, no, I can't go. Can we just turn around and go back? And everybody else has fallen down the mountain. They're already down at the riverbank. So they're down there. And I'm just, you know, scrambling down it with Steve and like, no, I can't do this. And I go to grab a group of, you know, vines over here, and there's like this alien looking glob of a bug. There's nowhere to put my hands. I don't know what to do. Oh, and before we all went down, the nice Sean guides, they cut all the bamboo. So there's bamboo stakes coming out of the ground where they have chopped these, thinking they were doing us a favor by cutting the bamboo out of the way. So here's me and Steve, and all of a sudden, it's pitch black. I forgot to say that part. Pitch black, and we've got headlamps on. So Steve all of a sudden does this neat little maneuver, floats over on his back, goes under a little tree branch, and darts down the hill. And I'm like, "Bye, Steve." And I said, "Are you coming back?" And sure enough, bless his heart, he scrambled back up the mountain so that he could help me down the rest of this mountainside. So, that is something that I never thought that Jesus would call me to. And had I known that would have been part of the trip, I'm not sure I would have gone. Oh, the other little funny part, the little guy, 5'3", skinny little twig, he put his hand out to me. And at this point, I have lost all trust in our guides because they've gotten me in this predicament. And he holds his hand up like he's going to help me. And I just kind of withdrew. And I was like, no. Later to find out that this little guy wanted to put me on his back and carry me down. Okay. And you know what? He didn't look like it, but he probably actually had the strength to be able to do it. But we didn't go that route. So. Rick, how much time? What time am I looking at?
They make fun of me when I stop.
So yeah. I forgot to ask before this, sir. So.
Yeah. So we're in 10, 15 minutes.
Oh, 10 or 15 more minutes. Okay.
You don't have to, but you can.
Okay. All right. So anyway, that's just been a part. But then, you know, the end result is of that hike, we actually, when we got to the Shan camp, what we walked into was a big Buddhist festival. So it's dark, we're drained, we're weary, probably a little woozy, low blood sugar and things like that. And, you know, and the temple, the Buddhist temple is lit up and there's candles everywhere. Very eerie because the smoke that was in the air and everything. And it was just a very eerie, dark situation going into. And walking into that, where are we? I mean, you know, I'd never actually experienced anything quite like that, and just the festival and the music and kind of the chanting and the rhythmic music going on. And so, again, I'm sitting there looking at our group, and boy, we were a sight to behold. But, you know, Christ was there because, you know, Jesus lives in our hearts. And so there we are in the midst of everything, and there Jesus is too. And so the Shan people desperately need to know who Jesus is. My heart breaks because of how oppressed they are, that they don't know that there's such a great hope, that there's such a great light, that, you know, I know that when I was lost, you know, and had my Mesquite days and my old BC days, that, you know, Jesus has given me such hope to endure things in this lifetime, but also be looking forward to this, you know, what the Bible describes and is eternity with Jesus, and what that looks like. And, you know, you said that you're sharing in Revelations, and oh my goodness, I look forward to that day. I want to weep every time I read, you know, that there won't be any more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, you know, no more of this darkness, that we won't even need the sun or the moon because, you know, the brightness, the light of Christ is going to be there to light things up. And thank God for that promise and for that hope. And so I just want these people also to know that hope, that there is so much more than what they're experiencing now. And there are people in there that have that glimpse and have that hope, and praise God. I wanted to share with you, you know, the needs over there are obvious and great, but after the cyclone hit, and, you know, we had money available and medicine available, we wanted to get it into, but there was roadblocks, which, praise God, you know, God has really enabled partners to go to the grassroots level and to get it into the people's hands and Christians' hands that are going down into those areas where they're risking their lives going to the cyclone area just to deliver aid. The Burma Army wants none of that. People that are receiving aid are going to be hurt and punished because they've received aid without the Burma Army's hand being included in that. And I think I wrote it in my update about that time when this May 3rd, the cyclone hit. And this verses, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and it's verses 8 through 11. And it says, "I think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and completely overwhelmed, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we learned not to rely on ourselves, but on God, who can raise the dead. And he did deliver us from mortal danger, and we are confident that he will continue to deliver us. He will rescue us because you are helping by praying for us. As a result, many will give thanks to God because so many people's prayers for our safety have been answered." you know, that hit entirely too close to the situation. And so to read that, one of the most important things I knew that we could do on this end was to be praying, and to know that God hears those prayers for these people, that he's going to answer these prayers for the people, and that on the other side, and hopefully we see it soon, you know, and we have had stories that have come back, and again, these praise reports and how these people are just trusting their lives to God and still praising him despite so much, that we will see this, that they'll give thanks to God because so many people's prayers for our safety have been answered. So I look forward to continuing to seeing answered prayers for them. You know, I head back. My daughter will stay here. Going to go back to Thailand in October and continue doing what God has called me to do over there. And, you know, I'm just encouraged and blessed to just know that there's prayer warriors on this end. And thank God for all of you guys and just for the opportunity to share a little bit with you. Thank you.
When I was there, that same little guy offered to carry me, and I let him. You're right. Not supposed to lie from the pulpit, are you? Well, there you go. You've seen it. You've heard it. The next thing you need to do is to get out there. You need to pray. You need to pray about going. And I, you know, you think I'm crazy. Why do I need to go? Because you need to go. Because you can see it. You can listen to it. But if you don't taste it, you don't smell it, it doesn't change your life. And it will change you from the inside out. I guarantee it. Been there, done that several times. And I know what, once you do that, the tug on my heart is to be there. There's just this thing that God puts in you. And to see these people in the bush like that, and wow, it's just really hard. What you can't tell from the pictures there is how hot and humid it is. And as she said, all the bugs and all the critters that are flying around and you're swallowing as you're trying to hike because you're sucking wind just to get your breath. So, but our task, what God has called us to here, is to do what we can to help these people. She's not alone out there. There's people all over the world. That's what all of this is about. That's what that whole wall represents, is what's going on in this world and how we as a church, Calvary Chapel of Mesquite, are engaged in that. So you need to pray what God would have you to do. I'm not God. I don't know. Some of you who may actually call to go, be ready to go. Sean just shared with us how she never thought. I know that Marie and I, well, early on in our ministry in Amargosa, we never thought that God would call us too. I mean, after all, you know, being a pastor, I thought, you know, God's, you know, had the need is here. But then in about 97, I guess, God started to draw us and change our minds, and we spent 5 years, as you already know, in the jungles, but not in Thailand, but in Central America. So never thought for one second we would ever be there. Took our daughters into that. People told us we were crazy. Here's a single mom with a daughter going into a situation like that. People say she's crazy. Steve and Audie have daughters there that they raise up. These girls are just, they do amazing stuff for these children in these refugee camps. There's so much to be done from that end. And there's a huge, huge need. I know you've heard me say this before. Jesus said, look, open your eyes, lift up your head and look. The fields are wide unto harvest, but the workers are few. There's all this harvest out there, and yet we don't want to go out and harvest it. And I'm reminded of the words of Isaiah, having beheld God's glory. And Isaiah is looking around, and he's just dumbfounded. And the Lord speaks, and he says, to communicate truth and stuff. And God says, who will go for me and whom can I send? And Isaiah says, here I am, Lord. Send me. See? Now that doesn't mean necessarily physical all the time. Obviously, there's people here, people there. That's what all the pictures are. By the way, Michael will be here from Nepal, who's working with the Dolpa there in Kathmandu, the Tibetan Buddhist. So he's going to be here on September the 7th to share a little bit. And but maybe the other side of it is just to get behind and support what's going on there. And I'm not necessarily talking finances. That means nothing. It really doesn't. God can raise whatever funds he wants. It doesn't need you and me. So that's not what it's about. I'm talking about supporting in prayer like she's talked about. I'm telling you, it's so hard to describe what it feels like when you're out there, but to know that people back here are holding you before the throne of God, I cannot describe to you what that feels like. You would simply not survive without it. I fully believe that. I know that Marie would testify to that, and our daughters, if they were here, share that with you as well. So God has drawn this church and has moved us and has given us a broader perspective than the city limits of Mesquite or the state lines of Nevada or the boundaries of the United States of America. He has called this church to reach out into all of the world, and that's what we will do. And we will continue to do so. We'll continue to put more people up there, and we want to stay engaged with you. If you could send me, I know you do send, and I get your letters, but if you can send a specific one, you'll get your own dot. Yeah, you'll get your own dot. If you're desiring a dot, you want a dot, okay. Of all the stuff that's going on there, and then just get behind it. Lastly, before I close and we get out of here, remember, we've already said this for several weeks, Juan and I, next Sunday is the last Sunday, we're headed over there. We keep hearing there's a lot of stuff going on over there. Malaria is just hitting really hot and heavy over there. Polio is breaking out again. So we have to get all of these. I thought I had enough shots already in Juan, where we practically leak when we drink now. But now I got to go back in and get another one because I didn't know about the polio thing. So now I got to go in and get nailed with polio this week. And we got to start taking our malaria medicine. And there's just all kinds of stuff that's going on. Yellow fever, it's all breaking out there. So pray for us. We're going to be right in the midst of all this stuff. See what God does with it. Amen. But we've got lots of work to do. See where God has us. What role as a church we're going to play in the future ministry there in Vilanculos, Mozambique. So pray for us. Now, as we close in prayer, don't just skitter off. Spend some time, hang around with each other. Go out there and talk to Sean. I know she'll just be awesome. We love to share the stories, the funny ones, the heartbreaking ones. But it's all about God and God's goodness and how he's allowed us the opportunity. I'm telling you, you sit on this side of things when you haven't done it and you say, oh, I don't know if I could ever do that. Like, ooh, I can't stand worms kind of thing. And you'd be amazed if you step out there what God will do. I'm telling you, he'll give you a different perspective. Many of you, when I say, hey, let's go to the mission field, you all go, oh, can't take the bugs, can't take the heat, can't take this, can't take that. Yeah, you can. You'd be surprised. When God's Spirit gets in you and moves you, you'll step out there. Take that step. You'll experience God in a way that you would never otherwise experience him if you hadn't taken that step. So move out there. Spend some time with Sean. We're going to have, actually, Juan and I will be gone for the next prayer around the world. We have our second Sunday of every month is our prayer where we pray around the world. You know, if this has meant anything to you, because I don't know about you, I'm sitting there watching it and thinking about how can I possibly complain about, you know, the gas prices, which are bad. Don't make no mistake about that. How can I complain about that? I don't have to hike any hills carrying kids on my back. I don't have to worry about any of that stuff just to get to where I'm going. So it just, you know, it just struck me. It's like, dude, stop sniveling, man. You don't have it that bad. So I pray that this has stirred your hearts. Spend some time with Sean. Go see what she has. She's got out there the prayer around the world. We're going to get the entire video and we'll show that for the prayer around the world. But folks, if we don't want to do anything else, you don't feel called, come to the prayer around the world. Out of all of these people, we have a small group of people that come to pray. We've got to commit to this. These people are out there doing it. They're on the front lines. It's real. It's not a game. So let's commit as a church, as a body of brothers and sisters who say that we agree with the same things. Get behind these kind of things. Amen? All right. And God bless you guys. Stand. We'll close in a word of prayer. Amen. Father, we are so grateful to hear the great words, Lord, of encouragement coming from those who have committed themselves and who are out there knowing full well that nothing that happens in and of their own strength, their own abilities, their own power, Lord. It comes from you. All we have to do, Lord, is heed the call. And Lord, we know that not all of us are called to live in the midst of these hostile environments. That's not the case necessarily. Some of us are called otherwise. But Lord, you know who we are. You know what our hearts are. I pray, God, that as we leave this place, we would not forget any of this, but we would be moved to make sure that, Lord, we get behind this in whatever way that means, whether it's to carry ministries like this, Lord, and others, financially, certainly prayerfully, Lord, or even to get out there and to engage for, you know, who knows? It doesn't have to be 3 years. What about a three-month time, just going out there and spending some time? I just don't know, Lord. So you move amongst us. You speak to our hearts as only you can do. Thank you, Lord, for Sean. Thank you for Steve and Odney and all the others that are still there, for Dorothy and Marv, for Jim and Denise and all those that are still there doing their ministry. God, be with them. Open the gates, Lord, of heaven. Let the truth reign, even in the midst of what appears to be perpetual darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.